Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday, April 18th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to not lose their passwords to Heartbleed and have all our accounts stolen. I'm your host, John Vasquez, and joining me this week are Ryan O'Donnell and Aaron Clint.
Hola.
Hello.
I didn't specify which of you was Ryan O'Donnell, which of you was Aaron Clint, so...
Yeah.
Because it matters so much for
us. I'm just thinking, like, at some point, one of you, like, I'm going to choose the second one. That's my name.
There's going to be the one person that this is their first podcast, and they're going to be really confused next week when our names are suddenly different.
Well, it turns out that, you know, there is, you know, one of those two names was actually impersonating the other one.
That makes sense. So speaking of next week, I thought about it, and I decided next week's going to be Beelzebub Retrospective, plus maybe other things if we run out of time.
Well, isn't the way that it works, normally we end up getting the stuff 2 weeks early, so next week might actually be the double issue.
Okay, either next week or the week after.
Yeah.
The next non-manga week.
Don't set your calendars to it. But it's going to happen sometime in the next couple of weeks.
So in other words, I really need to reread that series.
Or check wikis or something. How do you not have it memorized already?
What else is there to talk about besides the Age of Furichi? That's going to take like about 45 minutes on its own.
I bet when we're going to go back through it, we're going to find out that a lot of we're going to realize that a lot of early Beelzebub was great. Like, better than we give it credit for.
So,
all right then, so house cleaning?
Tokyo Wonder Boys got its first rank, second from the last.
Ouch. Yeah.
What's besides Soma, what has succeeded in the last 100 issues?
I Shoujo.
No, I mean, that one's not doing that great. Soul Catchers has held on.
Okay.
And I seem to think that there was one other one, too, but I can't remember which one it is.
It just feels like nothing's hitting, like, everything.
Yeah, well, nothing that we've read. You know, Coach Kame is newer, but that's kind of floating at the bottom. Soul Catchers has been bouncing around for a while.
And Saiki Kusano no Sai is really popular. We just don't read it because it's a comedy and it doesn't translate.
I mean, they had Nezuko and they had Chokugeki, and those were two fairly, close together hits.
Well, no, Nezuko has been around for a lot longer.
About another 60 chapters?
Yeah, that's like a year.
It's like double what?
That's still fairly close together.
Well, no, like, Assassination Classroom is closer to Soma.
Yeah, true.
And Sai started at the same time as Az Class. So, like, newer than Soma is pretty much just Soul Catchers, a bunch of stuff that hasn't really stuck. And I get, like, Illegal Rare looks like it's the one that's doing the best out of the most recent four.
I guess it's the Bakuman thing of, like, the top 1% of the top 1% is successful. But it still feels like 12 out of 13 manga that they debut every year are just utter failures.
Yeah. It kind of feels like nothing's caught fire recently. Like, I guess Nisekoi the anime is doing pretty well.
According to ads for Nisekoi the anime.
Yes, according to the ads that are in the magazine.
According to Nisekoi's cover page.
Nisekoi says Nisekoi is doing great, so...
I can't think of a more trusted Nisekoi authority.
They would know.
They are totally impartial.
I have heard a lot of good things about it. So.
Yeah. I see people, like, using Nisekoi avatars now where, like, no one had ever heard of that manga before. Like, no one in America. So,
yeah, it seems
I guess
it's a lot of people don't bother with manga, they just do anime. So.
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. It takes a lot to move me toward anime.
Yeah.
I've been watching anime on Netflix.
With the rankings, Stealth Symphony continues to be at the bottom. It's bottom three, so it's probably not long for this world.
So Illegal
Once Illegal Rare picked up, then it was end of it for Stealth Symphony.
It's, yeah.
Because,
In American news, Attack on Titan got picked up by Toonami.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good fit.
Yeah.
They're dubbing it, right?
And it's going to start airing end of May, and it'll be their early one. It'll be 11:30-ish.
So they're going to edit the hell out of it.
Not really.
11:30. Usually the first stuff's like they're not gory stuff.
That was the time slot that what's it called used to be.
What's it called? I love that.
Yes, the Wanatabe show, Space Dandy.
Ah.
So if they weren't editing that thing for, you know, risque stuff, I'm not expecting them to edit violence.
Yeah, well, there is some pretty gory stuff at points.
I suppose, but
I mean,
anything that they edit will be minimal.
isn't that part of the charm? Like, is it going to be as successful if they edited that stuff out?
Oh, it's not going to be removed completely. I think he's just saying that, like, maybe it'll get toned down a little bit.
I'm just talking, like, maybe they won't linger on, you know, like, the decapitated person as long or something. Or
one day I would really love to just do a cast of Dragon Ball Z edits. Because, like, some of them are just amazing. Like,
so four kids, Jihan, like, especially
losing his arm and then claiming that he can grow it back.
Okay, so three things. How did Vegeta know it was Sunday? How did he know the cultural thing that the building would be empty on Sunday? And how did they aim for the building? Like, none of that, nothing adds up.
Dog President was on top of his shit.
Adding in the parachutes come out of the planes.
Piccolo's kind of an asshole to not warn anyone.
Yeah. But the going along with that, the one thing that does impact some of the series that we watch, they're still going to continue showing Space Dandy, but it's getting bumped after Bleach because Bleach is locked in at midnight for whatever reason.
Probably contracts.
One Piece and Naruto are sliding back half an hour.
I would imagine Funimation has a contract that Bleach can't go too late because the ratings start to drop off and they probably want Bleach, you know, up front.
Yeah, there's only like 20 something episodes of that left, so
until it unceremoniously ends.
Yep, until it's about to get back into its last canon arc. The what's it called?
God, is that only like 20 episodes?
Fullbringers.
Is that only like 20 episodes? That's pretty short.
Apparently.
Did it end on filler?
No, Fullbringers.
It doesn't
canon.
End on filler.
Okay. That would have been a really sad
ending. I'm just aware, but I might actually start watching it just to see how bad it is at the end.
The Fullbringer arc's the one where Yusuke meets his predecessor.
Oh, right.
The old spirit detective.
It was a pretty decent arc in the Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah. I like
Except that. Then he goes like demon at the end, and it was like, this wasn't necessary.
Parallels.
Yes. So on to Bleach.
Yeah, it looks like they have the air dates, and so it will be ending this October.
Do you guys think the manga's still going in October? Yes.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Yeah, I think it's not going to end this year. We're already in the middle of it. And
I'm still really, really expecting Naruto to end first.
Yeah, I mean, considering this week's chapter,
yeah.
Could you imagine if Bleach went at Naruto's pace and Naruto went at Bleach's?
We would probably be enjoying Bleach and not enjoying Naruto.
God, imagine how long Ninjas Do Things would have taken Bleach's pace.
It would still be happening.
It would be a chapter about, like, and then I met him down by the river and we threw stones.
Like, the stone throwing would have to think. There'd be, like, reaction shots for the entire thing.
Be like a whole page of, like, eight panels of the stone skipping across and going up into the air.
So that's actually a pretty good transition to this week's Bleach.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
Where reaction shots. Just everyone's responding to the meteor.
Yeah.
I suppose that would be the sort of thing that you would react to.
Yeah, but it's, like, six, seven pages of it.
Like half the chapter.
Yeah.
People going, oh, it's because of that one guy.
So basically, meteor's coming down. Everyone's like, man, fuck that guy.
Bosby's like, what did he do? Idiot.
Wait, is that Bosby?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Yes. He ran off, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He left. Stout. We have no idea why.
Then he beat up, what was it? Rangiku?
I don't remember. He's bloody or something. Who cares?
Yeah.
And then we just
and
get
one. They're like, oh, it's okay. It'll hit that shield thing. You remember that they had to do the cannon to get through and whatnot?
And then guess what? It doesn't stop it.
Yeah.
What?
It's,
oh,
it's
no.
It's too much for it to destroy.
And then the Hoshwalt says, like, protect his majesty. And then stands there.
Doing nothing.
Who's he talking to?
You guys should probably do something. Sir?
So you know, they decide to contradict a couple chapters ago and saying, you know, it's futile. The meteorite was already made reality, so if you kill him, it won't disappear, despite the fact that if he wasn't concentrating on something hard enough, it stopped to be that way previously.
Yeah, like...
Remember when Rachira's bones went back to being bones instead of Cookie?
But this is different.
Because
this is a meteor.
Because it's double imagination, remember?
It's a little meteor.
Yes, it only...
Shut up, Imran. that just killed the discussion. So, yeah, The meteor
so
one.
Kenpachi is happy.
Yeah.
We get reaction shots of him being happy.
Then he pulls out his sword and releases it.
Yeah.
And we finally put to bed the most interesting Bleach theory that did not pan out.
Well, I don't know. The fact that they went and did the flashback, this thing, maybe that's her.
But she's
real name.
Still there.
We don't see her after the release, though.
Yeah.
But presumably he's released it before, because he kind of seems to know what he's doing with it.
The flashback didn't seem to be about Yachiru. It seemed to be more about Kenpachi not having a name, because that's what it ends on, is the revelation that he has no name also, which we knew, but, I mean, they're just parallels.
I'm saying I'm pretty sure that Yachiru is not the sword now.
So,
yeah,
I gotta say.
I agree with you, but I don't think that's going to be fully put to rest until next chapter.
I gotta say, like, all the build-up, like, all the mystery of what it could possibly be, and it's just like, it's a big axe.
It's a big, like, meat cleaver.
It's just
cool.
It's the exact sword you'd expect Kenpachi to have.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, he's just kind of like, if there was nothing interesting about his sword, this is probably what it would look like.
He went and looked at Ichigo's Shikai release and goes, yeah, but mine's bigger.
Like, wasn't the whole point, like, you don't need a huge sword and Ichigo's power is, like, compressed into his?
Well, that's his Bankai.
Yeah. But still. Yeah. Like, you're just showing me huge swords now, and that's... I don't care.
So he's got a big cleaver, and he destroys the meteor.
Yep. And that's the chapter.
How much you want to bet he has another gambit?
He's going to imagine all the meteor bits turning into meteors.
He's going to imagine Kenpachi dead.
He's going to imagine all of the meteors flying at Kenpachi.
I think it would be great if some of the meteor pieces hit somebody.
Just like...
It really doesn't matter who.
Hits a guy who's like crawling away from his battle.
Like, just... finally, safety. Shouldn't he be fine now? Like, that was last night.
Oh yeah, that's for how many times he was stabbed, that's all he needs. It's like a night.
Come on,
it depends on whether they got bandages on them or not.
Soul bandages.
I'm just trying to think of a way for him to like use his mist to escape the meteor and then just stand still and get hit anyway.
God, that part.
We were so sure there was more to it than that.
Nope. He was just trying to, mask it.
When the book is closed on Bleach, that's going to be the part that I'm going to remember is like, this shit really went downhill, huh?
You're going to go to an anime convention, Kubo Tite is going to be there, and you're just going to be like, in chapter, 520, hits a guy who puts up a smoke screen to escape, and then he just fucking stands still and gets stabbed.
What? I really want to find a way to cosplay Hitsugaya and do the, non-mist thing.
Just bring, smoke bombs and be like, smoke bomb! And then just be standing perfectly still when it clears. Right where...
I didn't know what to do. I panicked.
Froze. It's kind of my thing.
It was actually a little bit depressing. I think it was last weekend or something like that. I was going through stuff and I found the first Bleach movie. That movie was actually really good.
The one with chick with the ribbon or whatever that doesn't really exist.
Not Rukia, but Ichigo still has to go save her.
Yeah, like the leaf things.
Apparently, that one had a really good opening, if I recall correctly. Like, everyone being frozen around him or something like that?
So the animation
not that one. No, the animation was great, but it was like that... they actually tied it into the whole story of the universe pretty well. That there was, a bubble universe in that middle area where the train thing is that appears every once in a while. People's memories are trying to, their souls are trying to find the memories so that they can actually go to Soul Society and whatnot, so.
Anime movies only try the first time, and then they don't try again until, the 15th anniversary.
Yeah, that makes sense. But no, the first one was actually, it was good, it made sense, it was entertaining, it was well animated.
I don't think Naruto ever tried. The first movie was about a fucking four-leaf clover or something.
Okay, fair point. The Naruto movies that I've seen are... pretty much all terrible, but I do need
to see
that one.
Let's go to Monkey Island, or whatever that one was. Let's go to Monkey Island, or whatever the one was with Rock Lee and all them in t-shirts.
No, it was the first one was the movie princess.
No,
every single Naruto movie has some young character that hates him initially that he has to befriend.
I mean, that's Naruto in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But the first movie was totally the movie princess.
I thought it was... the four-leaf clover thing. Maybe that was just a special.
Maybe. Oh yeah, that was like the opening OVA or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. The movie one still sucked. Not, yeah, kind of. Not great.
But they did try, and they didn't try the next time.
I heard the Bleach movies, the Hitsugaya one, was pretty good.
It was okay.
That was right where I started to get out of Bleach.
The Bleach movies, the problem was the second and third movie were both like just trying to do the exact same thing that the first movie did.
So it's every anime movie.
Yeah.
You know which one made me mad was the, in this movie, we're going to explore hell. It's like, oh, so we're not doing that in the manga then.
Yeah. Well, I actually did. That's the one I haven't watched. But
maybe it's amazing.
Yeah, who knows?
I want to say I watched an Inuyasha movie once, but I can't remember anything about it.
I do need to get around to watching Road to Ninja at some point.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Inuyasha. I was going to
say this podcast ends right now. Okay,
so back to Kenpachi's sword. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah.
Like, it fits him.
There's nothing they could have done that would have made it satisfying, but they didn't try that hard.
It just feels kind of flat. You know, like, the great giant secret is, it's a sword.
It's a really big sword.
It's an axe.
Yeah.
Like, I would have liked Kenpachi to have something, I don't know, interesting and unique.
He still has a bankai, so.
The one thing that disappoints me most about the axe's design is that its edge is not all chewed up.
It kind of is. It's
not
a little...
really. Not the way his sword is.
No. But I thought his sword was because he just hit things with it.
Well, exactly.
I wonder if when it goes back to being a regular sword, it's going to look nice now. Now that it's, like, I don't know, refreshed.
Gonna guess no.
Yeah, probably not.
Does it also have a spirit animal?
Yeah, Yachiru. I don't know. His sword, like, didn't have a associated spirit animal with it during that filler arc, did it?
No, I don't think that he was around in that.
They just, like, avoided that by not having him show up ever.
I'm gonna go do training. That seems to sound familiar. Let's Bleach anime filter.
.tumblr.
Too many results to display.
So, looking over the movies, I did watch this Hitsugaya one, the Diamond Dust Rebellion, but I didn't watch the one after that.
And the one after that, it's basically, let's make everyone forget that Rukia exists or something like that.
It's
the manga.
So he comes back and it's basically trying to do the first arc again.
It's weird that like the first three movies are all like, what if a good person's a wanted criminal by Soul Society? Because we need to make these guys villains again somehow.
There's so many characters, we need to use them for something.
And then we'll also make new characters. Because the first one's like, Ichigo meets a girl, she's wanted by Soul Society. Second one is, Hitsugaya is framed, he's wanted by Soul Society. Third one's, everyone forgets Rukia exists, she's wanted by Soul Society.
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah. Yes, we just said, They're redoing the first arc.
What are your opinions on anime movies that are just truncated retellings?
They're fun. I like the Alabasta one that One Piece did.
I have to admit, I don't think that one would have made much sense if I hadn't seen
I always wonder that, because I never watch the summary movies, if I haven't seen the shows, but I always wonder if it would make sense if I had not seen them.
Some of them are pretty good, what's it called? The two Gurren Lagann movies were pretty great.
Because they change a couple of scenes up in there
that's worth watching over. The finale a whole lot more nuts in that one.
I watched a little bit of the Evangelion one, and I could follow it fine. Like, stuff felt really truncated and fast, but...
You mean the rebuilds?
The zero, you must not something?
Recent ones. Because I don't think those really count, because those are, top-down remakes.
Okay, I didn't know. The one that gets me about not being able to follow it is, the Phoenix Wright movie. I have a feeling that movie would make no sense if you hadn't played the game, because they just fly by everything.
I mean, that was the thing when, Dragon Ball was airing, that, they figured that people had already seen or read the manga, so they didn't really care if things necessarily made sense or they spoiled things for people.
It's just, you want to see the fights, we'll get to the fights. Yeah. Okay, so should we move on from Bleach? Has the time passed?
We've been talking about Bleach.
To answer your question, Kenpachi just doesn't have a spirit animal in that arc. He is there, though.
Why is it not a tiger? That would make total sense.
Yeah. Well, they weren't all animals. Some of them were hot ladies.
Most
of them were hot ladies.
They, they got rid of, remember that was the thing where Renji's turned from being that baboon with the snake tail to being the two girls that are chained together?
One who's a loli and one who has gigantic breasts that are just covered by hair.
Yes.
And they, like,
good thing nothing ever happened to Zangetsu.
Yeah. Good old family, too. You keep thinking that Imran.
Hold on a second to go, wait a second. Imran, if you want to see a weird retelling movie, watch the Drum Island one that they did for One Piece.
Or, because, like, Frankie's there for some reason.
Well, yeah, no, it's Drum Island as if they had never had Chopper and arrived after they already had Frankie and Brooke.
That's interesting.
And Paul, or Wapple, or however it's pronounced, his older brother is also there and is an enemy. It's weird. Really weird.
I'm still thinking about, like, if in the filler arc Ichigo was like, oh, thank God, you're my the spirit of my sword and you didn't turn on me, good old spirit of the sword, and then you see Zangetsu just, like, pulling on his collar, going like, yeah.
Alright, enough Bleach.
Food Wars?
Forever.
Yes, on to Soma.
Food Wars. It's like Food Wars, but with food.
This chapter both did exactly what I figured it would do and kind of subverts it a little bit, too.
A little bit. The moment where they call it out, I was thinking you'd be happy about that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like it didn't make the difference, though.
Yeah.
So, Soma, they're still eating Soma's food, and there was, like, small black things on the rice.
Yeah, they look
it
like
looks like giant caviar.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they wolf it down, like...
It's like,
no,
I don't care
no
what
hesitation.
This is. I'm sure it'll taste fantastic.
Yeah. Cyanide, I win! Haha, fuckers.
God, there was... What was the name of that cooking manga? Iron Walk Jan.
That's
where
familiar.
The main character, like, he won a cooking contest by cooking LCD and LSD and putting it in the food.
That's how
that sounds like
Bender
a Futurama.
Won on Futurama. Yeah.
So,
it was plain water. Yes, plain water laced with a trace amount of LSD.
I'm pretty sure this predated a Futurama episode. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, Soma points out that he figured out how to do this Nori burst candy thing from crappy candy he found before.
Yeah, so basically,
like experimenting as a kid.
They're basically using sodium alginate and calcium chloride to create like a film around like liquefied Nori.
Yeah, so basically he took Alice's thing.
Yeah.
And made it his own.
Gastronomy. But he learned it when he was a kid from a dumb thing.
I like how he shows her the cheap candy and she legitimately does not know what cheap candy is.
Yeah, I love this joke of her not knowing what normal things are.
Yeah.
So they, like, the back of the candy box showed the way to make this thing.
He
learned it.
It was basically like an experiment for kids. Like, learn science and also you get candy at the end of it.
So it's basically the thing he learned from when he was, like, teaching the kids too.
Yeah.
So everyone, all the judges love it, and they compare, like, Alice's dish to, like, a jewel box, but Soma's dish is, like, a treasure chest.
Because, you know, there's all these different things that you can find yourself as opposed to having them already prearranged for you.
And then they think back to being kids.
Yeah. It's like their child's opening the bento box at school.
Yeah.
And I really liked the Alice going and wolfing down Soma's thing this entire time.
While telling him that hers is better.
Yeah. So he has them use, like, kudzu sauce and the last bit of rice. And lets them try it, and they're all wolfing it down as well.
Yeah.
Because they love it. So at this point, Soma's basically locked it in, but Alice is like, wait a second. Isn't it kind of bullshit that, like, nostalgia is the main thing here?
Yeah, the point's whether it tastes good or not. It shouldn't be a spiritual problem, it should be a gastronomy problem.
And her grandfather, who has stripped down.
Stripped.
Yeah. Somehow or off-panel, he has reacted already.
It just eviscerated his shirt when he was eating it.
And Soma's main thing was he figured out how to keep a warm bento warm, while Alice just went the other direction, just went for straight cold.
Also, yeah,
to be the idea is they were supposed to be served warm, but you're eating them over the thing, so she went with it, okay, then I will make something that will taste good cold. Whereas Soma tried to come up with a bento thing that would still be good warm.
Also, yeah. It seems like there's both literal warmth and cold and also, like, figurative warmth and cold with their dishes. Like
metaphors in
manga?
Yeah.
Parallels. Wait, no. Metaphors.
And the grandpa just straight up says, like, even if it were just a battle of if it's good or not, it's still Soma's win.
And then Soma hands her the rest of his bento with the sauce on it.
And then she goes into the backstory where she wants to play with Irina, but Irina's off being, like, super prodigy.
Yeah, God's tongue or whatever.
So she decides to study this herself, and she's going to beat Irina at her own game.
And so, you know, she had promised she would never lose to anybody until she's beaten Irina, but she, you know, wolfs down Soma's thing and is, you know, honestly, it looks like she's almost on the verge of tears there, but...
Yeah, I think it's bringing back a lot of bad memories. And then her grandfather asks for his giant novelty-sized brush, and he dips it in his giant novelty-sized ink and begins...
Yeah,
like,
shit got wacky.
Yeah.
And then the return of, like, the cheesecake shots from earlier on in the manga.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What's wrong with, like, completely naked Alice on an entire page?
Nothing. I get the feeling like this entire fight
would just
go
after that. He's done one like this.
It has been, and I guess, you know, porn manga artist is gonna do what a porn manga artist does.
I mean, obviously the ratings are down, so he just needs to get that boost, right?
I was gonna quote Furichi and say maybe they'll add the nipples in the release, but that seems in bad taste.
My guess is they're probably, like, within Jump, they're deciding who's gonna get the next anime. So I think this is like the equivalent of Sweeps Week.
Instead of Haru, we get naked girls, which is probably like a way better fan pandering.
Like, Nisekoi move forward with its plot, and well, it has an anime, but still.
So
I get the feeling everyone's vying for attention right now.
So the first match is completed and Soma wins. He did not get knocked out in the first round.
Yes.
I'm less sure about every further round from here.
Yeah, I could see him getting knocked out in the middle.
Or at the very end.
It's almost something nice about this manga is that his victory is not assured.
Yeah, well,
that was
like,
the
he spent the last...
Like, early on, he was winning everything.
And it was sort of boring. Like, at first it's interesting and, like, fist-pumping, like, main character's doing it. And now it's, like, after a while it became, okay, this is really kind of boring because Soma's, like, a genius and nobody else is.
I don't remember. What's the moment that he had his comeuppance where he, like...
It was the thing where he
the
had
French
to be
chef.
The assistant, right?
Yeah. Mm. He lost a shokugeki against one of the alumni. And he got really pissed off when, because it was Megumi's technically shogeki, but he thought he could still win.
Yeah.
Got cocky and...
Speaking of Megumi is
the next one up.
Yeah.
So, I could see her winning. I'm really more interested in,
so that we
like...
would have a Soma versus her?
Yeah. I don't know.
I wonder if she could go up against a Curry guy.
Well, so, okay, who are her possible opponents? It's basically, like...
Curry, Italian.
Alice's assistant, unknown.
And other assistant.
Yeah. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, that's all of them. So, I think the most interesting...
I could see any of them, honestly.
I kind of don't want to see her knocked out in the front round, so she's not going to be a power establishment, so I could see her going up against... I don't know, Irina's assistant. She made it...
I could see them doing the Krillin Goku thing of... Megumi makes it up to Soma.
I say Megumi makes it to semifinals and then just gets trashed by whoever Soma ends up facing in the finals. So it's like there's a revenge aspect to it.
I like how we've seen so many shonen tournaments that we can...
There's
just
there's
some
so
pre-established archetypes here.
You know, yeah, there's so many different ways we could go with it and it would all be taking from something else.
I mean, in fairness, like, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Show us a bracket, and it's like those shots of like the Pentagon war room where we're just standing around it going like, okay, if this one goes this way, then...
What's that we did it with fairly recently? Like, we were analyzing some tournament with One Piece, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it went crazy, we got everything wrong.
Yeah, like, oh. Absolutely. Well, yeah, because no, the, yeah. Also.
Yeah, it was like...
Like,
okay,
we misunderstood the tournament in the first place.
It's like Luffy's gonna fight Black, or,
Jesus. And get revenge for Ace.
We really missed that one.
So somebody's gonna take Soma's place and like wear a beard.
Okay, so next week, Megumi versus, I'm gonna say, either Italian guy or Arena's assistant.
I can see her going Curry guy.
Actually, I don't see her going up against Arena's assistant because like that's gonna eliminate one of the two girls immediately, and it's this manga.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like,
then it would just be down to
one
girl left.
I think that the assistants, for the most part, are going to be used as power establishment for other people.
Yeah. I could see Soma against, what's her name? Alice's assistant.
It's, yeah, as a revenge thing in the second round. I think he's going to do Alice's assistant in the second round and then Mystery Guy for the finals.
Yeah, Mystery Guy is making it to the end because Curry Guy is already established to only really be into curry, and he's going to make a curry bento.
And I think...
Well, no, we don't know that the next one is bento.
Oh, is it? I thought so it was the same for everybody.
It's totally bento, yeah, because Megumi knew about it too, didn't she?
Oh, I thought that it was specifically like each round. That's why they called them they only called the two of them to that one place to find out what their category is.
Hmm. I guess we'll see. But I don't think it's going to be curry.
They didn't say necessarily that the next match is happening immediately, right?
I feel there might be implication of first round.
But they specifically say next issue.
Yeah.
Tokidoro, so.
I'm reading a back issue, and it seems like she's just mumbling to herself about what she should make. There's no confirmation that it's a bento. Oh, she even says, I see Yukihara's theme is bento.
Okay.
So it is going to be something different. That'll at least keep it interesting.
So
I'm sticking with Curry, dude.
This is a pretty decent chapter. I did like how they called out that, like, hey, just because he remembered being a kid doesn't mean it's great. Like, I don't dislike that thing.
It's just
it too much, yeah.
Yeah, like, you don't want to lean on it too heavily.
But all right.
Yep. On to Nisekoi?
Yeah.
Yeah, great chapter.
Where Tsugumi's in a bondage suit?
A bunny outfit.
What? Oh.
The color first... things on the front.
My eyes are darting around the page really fast.
Did I miss this week? What's happening? It has a nice center color where it does...
Everybody's a flower.
Yeah, they toot their own horn about the anime.
Yes, everybody loves it.
Uh-huh.
It's very popular.
The anime
please
is there.
Watch it.
Oh god, please. I have children to feed.
This is a really text-heavy chapter.
Also story-heavy.
Yeah.
Really story-heavy, which is something I like about it.
You can tell because the first panel is Raku staring at the pendant.
Well.
And then they talk about the pendant.
Well, no. There's the first
Okay,
thing
the first
is,
page is yeah. has a...
Somebody arriving on a plane.
Yes.
A new girl showing up.
And what the heck is up with that, person next to her?
Weird, I think it's like a little brother or something.
You're like monster that's following her around everywhere.
And it's like traditional Chinese garb, I guess.
Reminds me of Shaman King.
So anyway, she lands and the very first thing she thinks, like I assume everyone thinks when they land in this town, is I wonder what Raku's up to.
I'm just imagining like a commuter jet and as soon as it touches down, everyone's just like, Raku, that promise we made when we were children.
Local time is 12 o'clock and also Raku's doing fine.
Well, you see, so, I'm personally imagining this as, you know, they all just suddenly come into being because, you know, she is now on the radar and is able to think about him. So they're all like, oh, thank God I am out of that blank white space.
All right.
Because Raku is thinking about the pendant, so the universe creates for him a vessel to...
Another key bearer. Isn't that how Kingdom Hearts
story
works?
Story progression.
Yeah, it's like from a need, a person is born. So whatever Raku needs, that comes into being.
And then it automatically retcons his history?
This isn't Bleach.
Dumb. We're dumb.
So Raku is staring at the pendant and thinking, man, I wonder what's up with that book. Remember the book?
And then Chidori's like, no, wait.
Yes. I never get to read the book, so why don't we go read it? And Raku, rather than thinking, what if I bring the book to you, says, okay, we have to go to the book.
Well, it'd be just as fast.
I do like that this conversation is basically like, how come we haven't done anything with that thing? Just kind
it's
of
been an entire summer.
It's like, oh,
it's so hard, you know, to take a look at a book.
Stuff came up, Tsugumi found stuff on carts, and, you know, we all became monsters.
So, they show up at Raku's place, and all of the mafia are, like, you know, totally dressed up and standing at attention, and they find out that somebody's visiting.
The dawn of the Char Siu Mafia.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a made-up one, as opposed to using, like, triads or something like that.
Maybe. I assumed it was just triads. Like, they're probably a pun of some kind.
And they have to make nice because he's a big wig that's, you know, come to visit.
Yeah.
So then they walk in and, oh, hey, there's a girl. I wonder if she's a guest too.
A girl doing the anime lean where it doesn't like make, like, why would someone stand like that?
Look
like
at her arm. Her arm is completely messed up.
It like goes like a grotesque grudge-esque thing at the end.
It looks like in anime when there's like a monster hiding inside someone's body and their limbs are all like snapping in the wrong direction.
They're making like jerky movements.
Yeah. Just like the head tilts, like Raku. So
Chitoge notes that she's really pretty, so we can trust that.
So we know that she's a main character. So
yes.
Figuring out how hot she is. And she calls Raku Raku-chan, which is really familiar.
Yep.
And Raku recognizes her. It's like, oh, wow, I haven't seen you in forever.
Guys, Raku remembered something. It's amazing.
Yeah, I do love that.
Isn't
when...
this like longer ago
yes.
than everything that they've forgotten?
It predates the key thing.
I'm betting the key thing is involved somehow. Yeah. So the best thing about this chapter is all the reaction faces. And the first one starts with Chitoge like staring dead out into nothing as she notices that they recognize each other.
Yes. I thought you were an only child. Why did you call her older sister?
So basically, this character is to play to the older sister fetishism of harems.
Well, it's the childhood friend. Also,
yeah, expect. The older childhood friend. But,
well,
yeah.
I mean, they're all childhood friends at this point, but...
So, she is... Yeah, we don't know yet. So she is Yui Kanakura, a childhood friend of Raku's. They played together when they were small.
Clearly Japanese name, head of Chinese mafia.
Yes. Hey, spoilers.
Let's look at the next page.
So, yeah, it's been 6 or 7 years since they've seen her, and then she gets introduced to Chitoge, who's her lover.
Yes, or yep. This lover. Is my girlfriend.
And then she hears the words Kurosaki and says, like, oh, you're the daughter of the American mafia.
I think she figured the dynamic out right there.
Yeah.
Like, that they're not actually together. It's a PR stunt.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
You're saying that being the head of a mafia clan, she might actually be pretty sharp?
Hey, spoilers. We're not there yet. It's an amazing twist that totally came out of nowhere.
Okay, so next it's revealed that she's the head of the Chinese mafia.
My God,
Who
could have seen that coming when they said that they have a guest that's the head of the Chinese mafia, and, oh, hey, this girl is here as your guest. Guest.
So her father passed away, and she inherited the role.
Yeah. I'm guessing she's half Japanese, like everyone.
Like everyone.
Nationality.
I have to say, I was amused by the panel where, you know, it's revealed, and he has his hand on her shoulder, and she's just kind of, like, embarrassed that, oh, you know, I'm the head of an underworld organization, you know.
So they don't try to explain it too much, just like, I don't know, things happened, I'm the head of the mafia, nobody really has a problem with it.
Raku gets a good reaction face, or half panel there.
Yeah, and Chitoge as well.
Also, her little gremlin is filling their teacups with, like, a really long spout.
I had noticed it on the first page, but I wasn't paying attention, so as we're going through this again, I'm seeing that person every time it appears, and it's much more amusing now.
Yeah, her little Oompa Loompa that follows her around.
You need one if you're head of the mafia.
But anyway, you know, stuff is, you know, settled down, so she decided to take a vacation and come overseas.
Yeah.
So it explains that she used to live with Raku.
Or near Raku.
This isn't freeloading at our place.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
But yeah, this just kills me that, you know, second grade or so, I could see not remembering details of stuff from, you know, when you're in second grade sort of thing. But then the fact that there is this massive amnesia gap more recent than that.
In fairness, he remembers her existence, but not anything about what happened.
Because he hasn't thought of it yet. So... Yeah. So she is older than him by apparently 4 years.
That would make her about 21.
Yeah.
Which is important for the ending.
So Chitoge enjoys hearing stories about how Raku is as a child, but then she's jealous.
Because he's exactly the same.
Yeah, she's jealous that Yui got to know him so long ago.
And jealous that Raku is somewhat protective of her.
And also that he gave her her first kiss.
Yeah. Well, upon hearing this, she blasts off.
And
while
I'm
still
going to
sitting
guess
down.
That it's more like, given that this is a manga, I'm going to guess it's like a kiss on the cheek.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Raku has no idea what she's talking about, because memory. Then there's the great reaction face when Yui's about to confess her love to Raku.
Which is sort of creepy.
Just the, yeah. I haven't seen you in 7 years, but I love you.
So she mentions that she'll be here for a while.
I don't know if she was actually going to be doing that there.
She's flirting with a guy in front of his girlfriend, which I think is sort of weird.
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah.
And also, like, he's underage and she's not. And also
this
other
is Japan.
Things, like...
That come to light later in the chapter.
Yeah.
No, this is Japan. He is totally not underage.
She mentions that she'll be attending the same school as Raku. Do you see where we're going with this?
No. So anyway, they're going to show her around
town. They didn't actually establish 4 years early here, did they?
She's a sixth grader. He's a second grader.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yep. And
he asks to be shown around, and, you know.
So the next page, and so starting today, and we see her name on the board as if she's being introduced to the class as a new student. She is the new homeroom teacher.
Which, I'll admit, I started laughing at this.
It's great because all the reactions.
Yes.
Like, Onodera and Tsugumi don't know what the hell, so they're just like, yeah, neat.
Yeah. So,
like, they're going, wow.
Onodera doesn't know her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marika and Chu are not super thrilled about this, because this is something I wanted to be on to discuss. They are the only two that seem to have memories of that point, and they're the two that are, like, super freaked out that this lady has resurfaced.
Yeah, I don't know that Chu recognizes it, but Marika definitely does.
Maybe Chu just, you know, is like, oh, hey, a new object for my teacher fetish.
He does not seem thrilled.
Yeah.
He looks confused at everybody's reaction, is my thing. Like, particularly Marika and Raku.
I think he's more confused... because if you look at the other panel, he's staring towards the front of the class.
So we've established that Marika, she knows some shit, right?
Everything.
Yeah.
It's like.
And her reaction is amazing.
The screams internally reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that one panel kind of makes the
yes.
this issue.
I laughed out loud literally when I flipped the page and saw that.
So I like the scene with, like, Raku looking freaked out, and Chitoge looking freaked out, and Onodera looking like, hee, neat.
Teacher, yay!
What's going on?
I like how everyone's applauding. That thing.
Yay, teacher. So teacher.
So reaction faces aside, let's talk about how super dumb this is.
I think it's fine. It's great, new character.
Yeah, this is not dumb. This is perfectly in line with the series. I am 100%.
It's perfectly in line with the series as being dumb.
So, teacher fetish, sister fetish, childhood friend fetish. They're being very efficient.
And foreigner fetish, I guess.
Yeah.
Although Chitoge kind of filled that role anyway.
Yeah, she's like barely. I mean, she has a Japanese last name. She's, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, blonde hair. That's kind
of. Oh, I meant the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Thus far, she has been outgoing but sane, so that puts her in, like, a better category than
you don't
most
know her long people. Plan.
Do you think Wison is, like, super conflicted now? Just like, oh god. Yeah, so let's talk story stuff, because I think there's a lot to be said about Marika being so freaked out by this, and I don't think it's just a, you know, another rival thing.
Gonna say that Marika thinks, at least, that she holds the key.
That she is the girl?
Yeah.
See, I'm wondering if there's something more sinister behind it, like, because Raku doesn't remember anything about her.
Why did she leave the country, or something like that?
If she's not such a nice person, or something.
That would be really depressing in a lot of ways.
That doesn't seem like it would fit the mood of this series.
No, I guess not. I guess the way the series goes, Marika's just freaked out because, oh no, more competition, and possibly the one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if this is going to be, like... Maybe it's something like Marika wasn't actually... Well, no, because he talked to her dad. I was going to say, like, maybe since this is a person who would remember their childhood stuff, there's, like, Marika was feeding a line when she was talking about the stuff from when they were kids or something like that.
We've discussed the Marika psycho theory before, haven't we?
That she's just a crazy person?
Yeah, that she had no relation to any of these people as kids.
Well, but Raku met her dad, and they talked about it.
Oh, I'm sure her dad would not cover up for her at all.
Oh god, yes, because the last time I told a boy no, we had to move to Japan. I'm the police commissioner, I can't cover up everything.
Where was she from? Okinawa?
Yeah, because she's got the accent.
Yeah.
Once the bodies get waist high, you can't put them under the rug anymore.
You can cover up the stuff in Okinawa, but not here.
Actually, she's probably freaking out because this girl would know her sickness.
I don't know.
You know,
there's
she's been keeping that a secret from them.
I am interested if there is story reasons that she's like melting down about this.
So I'm gonna go with she's going to totally fall for Shu because you know Shu good and for, teachers, right?
Good for Shu.
Yeah.
Get him some.
In fairness, this is like a younger, hotter version of the woman he had a crush on already.
Yeah, she's really similar. She's even wearing glasses for some reason now.
Well, because she's a teacher and they make her look intelligent, right?
She's still got her Chinese braids, though. That's how you
know. I'm more just amused by the fact that the head of the Chinese mafia is a teacher.
Yeah, they don't really explain that, do they?
As a teacher.
Whatever. Japanese school system is shoddy at best. So let's let anybody. She just shows up and it's like, what are your qualifications?
I speak Japanese.
Super hot.
You want to work here? Like, you realize we had the highest accident ratio per student in the country, right? Like, shit just happens. We can't explain it.
There's that manly girl outside with huge boobs, and she's grown hair all over her body because she ate a dog biscuit, and we lose, like, 2 faculty members a week because of this shit. It is
the last one. Last teacher just had to get out of here. She had no choice.
They're buried in lawsuits. Like, there's people are punching holes in walls, and people are getting hit with debris. One kid's still in a coma.
One kid had amnesia. That doesn't even happen anymore. That's Flintstone shit.
We literally hit him on the head with a frying pan, and he turned into a secret agent, and then we hit him on the head again, and he was back to normal.
I'm pretty sure our school nurse makes robots.
We have, like, 7 mafia people here. Oh, I'm in the mafia.
God, oh, it's fine.
Fucking damn it.
The Chinese mafia thing actually makes me, like, kind of wonder how Kenichi is going these days.
Very poorly.
Okay.
They're
is
like
this still running?
They're, like, in the final battle right now. Like, the teachers are fighting the adults, and the kids are fighting the...
It was weird with, like, how fast and hard that manga made the transition to not being about Kenichi anymore.
Yeah. It's so gratuitous, and, like, it does this weird thing where, like, here's the final bad guy. Oh, we beat him. Oh, well, he was just part of this organization of 7 bad guys. Well, we beat him. Oh, well, they were part of an organization of, like, 40 bad guys. Like
they clearly set out a villain at the beginning, and then they just kept adding things onto it, and that's where I got bored.
Yeah, it's, like, so him and his little shitty group of friends they've had since the start, are fighting, like, the evil disciples, and there's, like, 20 of them, and they're all... There's, like, an archer girl that wears a belt and no panties, so you, like, keep getting shots of her pulling an arrow with her legs spread, and the arrow is just, like, yeah.
See, I liked it when it was that thing where, like, Kenichi's this guy who has no talent, but he's being trained to be the best. Like, remember, what, like, that big fight with the guy who was super talented, and he won because he got one hit?
Yeah, now he just loses all the time. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, Nisekoi 119 just came out.
It came out while we were talking about it. So, and
next
I've never
week.
Read Kenichi, so I've been skimming through it real quick.
we can do a live
reaction.
I don't want to do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Ask class.
I was going to say we could take a break and read it, but yeah.
We're just going to cut this off. Ask class.
I do know from the cover of this Nisekoi that the anime is apparently airing.
Wow. Oh man!
How about that?
Thank God they finally got around to telling us.
Go to page 12 for details.
I'm going there now. Oh hey, she's taking her shirt off. Oh God! That was a trick.
All right, assassination classroom.
All right. So when we left it last, Itona had gone crazy.
Yes.
And ran off.
And we're getting some details that, you know, it's different from when it's a body made up of tentacles. They're, you know, they get tortured.
He's an artificial Koro-sensei, basically.
They basically put tentacles on his head. We get, like, a small scene that basically tells us how Itona came to be. Like, just the front our cover image.
Yeah, like, he's, you know, it looks like he's a homeless vagrant of some sort that got picked up.
Yeah, by Shiro.
I really like how much is said in that picture without...
Yeah. I keep saying this, but I really feel like this manga is probably the best one. Maybe second to Oda in Running a Jump. Like, he does a lot with very little.
Yeah. He is an excellent storyteller. He can communicate a lot with just...
And, like, this is complicated art, too. Like, this had to have taken some time.
There's really good perspective. It's really nicely drawn.
like the rain doesn't block Shiro with his umbrella and whatnot, but you see the lines over Itona.
Like I've seen, not this chapter of Sinclair Classroom, but other chapters where like he'll use water and rain and stuff to like give perspective to the picture, so you know where everyone's standing in relation to everybody else. It's like, it's such subtle stuff that I'm amazed that he doesn't get more credit for it. Like I see places that aren't.
I think it's just that it hasn't made penetration in America. But I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. Like
ratings and things. I mean, he gets the credit in Japan.
I see people talk about a lot of manga shit in America, and not enough people are talking about Assassination Classroom. Like,
I see it very rarely.
Yeah, when that Jump Fighter came out, and they revealed Koro-sensei, they were a bunch of people going like, "Who? Who's that guy?"
Oh, dumb anime.
All right, Imran, you know what you need to do the next time you go to interview people at one of those conventions. You need to be dressed up as Koro-sensei.
Sounds like a plan.
But like Naruto Koro-sensei.
I mean, we've given it the Manga of the Year award twice now.
The prestigious Manga of the Year
award. How are people not... Like, clearly everyone should be listening to us.
Don't they read newspapers? God.
Jeez.
Okay, so basically the gist of this picture is Itona was homeless or something and wanted to be stronger. Shiro took advantage of that and basically, like, Orochimaru'd him.
And so they first meet the Kurosawa's agent.
Tsuruta, not that he'll probably ever show up again.
The sun is rising behind his head, right? That's totally what that is, right?
They see him have like a huge bump on his head, the anime bump.
This is like my actual favorite joke of this chapter is he has the anime bump, and then they explain that Kurosawa's punch is so fast that it rips the hair off your scalp and causes swelling of 2 centimeters. So
they science the anime bump.
Yeah.
So Koro-sensei's kind of pissed that everyone didn't believe him, and they're offering him sweets and like also, giving him shoulder rubs, even though he doesn't have shoulders.
We should note that this really awful, stressful thing was happening at night, and then suddenly it's the next day, and nobody's super, really, they don't give a shit about it.
I mean, they talk about it like they say they looked for Itona.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they tried to find him, but, you know, kid's kind of fast. Now, that being said, you would assume that Koro-sensei's a little faster, but
I like Koro-sensei's pouty face because it just looks like Homestar Runner.
He's doing
like
a self-deprecating thing.
It actually his head.
But it like looks okay in 2D, and then they show him from a different perspective, and it looks really stupid.
So now he's worried about Itona because they couldn't find him all night, and he's clearly gone crazy, and he has the power to do something bad with the craziness.
I'm sure nothing's going to happen from...
You know, they also established he only has 3 days before it, like, eats his brain because he's not getting daily treatments.
He'll die from madness, which I'm not sure is a thing...
So,
but, you know, whatever.
There's this, like, super-powered metahuman with a degrading personality and nothing to lose, and a homicidal streak.
All right, guys, we looked enough. Let's go home.
We got class tomorrow. We can't be out here all night.
We got responsibilities.
So we cut to a gas station, and a very deranged Itona starts destroying it.
Yep.
Just, like, absolutely eviscerates it.
Yeah.
And in a way that can only be done with tentacles.
Somehow.
And they're all watching this news report about it on Ritsu.
I didn't notice that.
And Koro says they figured out, okay, this is clearly Itona, and he's attacking his cell phone shop for some reason.
Yeah. I would imagine it's for the energy or something, because it was established that he needs electricity to, like, power plants to keep his tentacles at bay. Maybe he's attempting.
Yeah, to power the tentacles.
Yeah.
So then
it cuts to the government office where Shiro is being questioned by nondescript government guy.
Being browbeaten for letting this happen.
Yeah.
And we see him take a sip of coffee, and he seems mostly human under his scarf, which actually surprised me.
But except he has, like, the dish held up over his shoulder?
That's the part that confirms it's a tentacle to me, because, like, look at the way his arm is... Like, it's down and then is going up and over his shoulder.
You're right. That's a very strange place for him to be holding the...
The saucer.
Yeah.
And his body shape is a little off, too.
Like, he seems to be using that to hold up the flap so that he can drink or something like that.
Let's not forget that time we saw what we assume was Koro-sensei. He was looking pretty human.
Yeah, that's... So now that we've established that people can artificially be made to be like Koro-sensei, I wonder if, like, to bring up the Orochimaru thing again, I wonder if Shiro just totally Koro-sensei'd his body out.
You know, I can see that.
He started human, but he's artificially just, like, you know, cranking
slowly
himself.
Adding one piece after another or something.
Yeah.
It sounds like the tentacles are iterative, and they remark that Itona's were no good.
God, there's something... it was an anime thing where someone kept adding parts of monsters to themselves and I can't remember.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, I think that that panel is meant to imply it, he has tentacles.
That is a very strange place to be holding a tea tray.
Yeah.
Maybe he can't control them as well as he thinks.
So then we come back to Koro-sensei and kind of mirrors Shiro in saying that it's his responsibility to go find him, to protect him. Whereas right. Shiro saying, like, go find him and stop him.
Yeah. He's going to go pick him. Well, he says he'll pick him up.
Yeah.
And so then Karma's thinking about how he thinks it would be wise to leave him alone because Shiro, you know, thinks of everyone as disposable people that he can use to get lucky and get Koro-sensei, who's the only person who matters.
Hey guys, Karma's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's sort of his thing.
Throwing that out there.
And Koro-sensei says that he swore he'd never let a student go. And then we see a flash of a man and a woman holding hands.
Yeah. I also really like the art in this panel, too, of the shadow being cast on him.
I just noticed that his tentacles, he's holding them, like, yeah. Similar.
So he's remembering something.
I'm sure he totally remembers. I don't think there's any amnesia thing to what's going yeah. on with him.
Yeah, he knows what's going on.
He's not being clear, and there's no sense of dramatic irony, because we don't know.
Cut to Itona outside another cell phone shop, which has police posted at it, which I found... It's like, I don't know, someone's blowing up cell phone shops. Let's just go post police officers at them.
So someone is telling, I'm guessing this is Koro-sensei, that he's remembering someone saying there's no shortcut, they have to study every day.
Yeah, maybe that's something Koro-sensei said once.
And he remarks, you liar, and then trashes the cell phone shop and beats up the guards.
Yeah, doesn't kill him, just... And he starts crushing the cell phones, which is what made me think that he's just, like, drawing power from them.
I could see, like, they say it took nuclear power plants to keep him maintained.
I don't think he's being successful about it, given how more and more deranged he's being, but I think he's attempting to, like, stave off as best he can.
And Koro-sensei shows up and remarks that, you know, he has a human face now.
He's showing emotion.
Yeah.
Is what I think he was getting at.
And so for some reason, Terasaka decides to get involved, too.
Because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
He likes to yell at people.
He likes to be jerky.
Then he's like, Itona's putting all them through all this stuff, but just come with them and it'll be fine. No one will mention it again.
And Itona says, it's his time to win, so let's fight.
And Koro-sensei says, sure, but, you know, let's go out into, you know, someplace where there's not other people.
Let's go where the Dragon Ball Z fights happen.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they'll have barbecue.
Yeah. So Itona's eyes look a little weird.
There's multiple pupils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that something that's... Is that new, or...?
I don't know.
Because the shot that we get of him, like, outside of this one, it seems like only one eye is starting to, like, separate into different pupils.
Yeah,
it's really,
right.
It's really weird. It's probably a side effect of the tentacles.
Basically, yeah. Bad things are happening to him.
So also, I want to point out that, like, when we see Koro-sensei holding the shish kebab in the bottom panel... He's holding it the same way that, like, Shiro's arm was freaking out. Like, it was down and then moving a different direction.
Mm. Yeah, tentacly.
Yeah.
So, it seems like he's finally getting through to Itona.
And then all of a sudden, a bomb goes off.
Grenades.
Yeah, people tossing grenades that are filled with anti-sensei powder. So, you know, it's definitely messing up Itona, and it's just enough to, you know... distract and get Koro-sensei off balance.
And then, yeah, we see Shiro up here and reveal his plan that this is the second arrow. Putting Itona off balance was all part of his plan the entire time.
Basically, he used him as bait.
Yeah. Now
yeah,
it's...
Like Karma was saying.
Itona was successful in his final mission.
Yeah.
It sounds like he was going to kill him.
He captures Itona and basically teases or mocks Koro-sensei to come get them.
Yeah. Continuing to use him as bait.
Yeah.
I just realized that the pupil thing now resembles the shape that's on the back of Shiro's cape thing.
Oh, yeah. The yeah. double. Although I think that's just a hydrogen atom. But.
Yeah, no, that's what we always thought that it was, but it looks like that now, kind of.
So Koro-sensei is still sort of melting, but he decides to take off and go get Itona and come back.
Then the students realize that Shiro put them in danger, and Koro-sensei was hurt because he was protecting them.
Yeah. So I'm guessing they're going to do something about this.
Yeah, so they're totally going to get involved.
So I was really disappointed because I saw everyone had fire above them, and I was looking for Kayano to have an A above her again. But I didn't see it.
That was a good visual gag. Even Nagisa has fire, and he's showing no emotion whatsoever.
So we're heading towards some kind of big conflict with Shiro, it seems like.
Yeah, like, we saw that Shiro had a bunch of other people dressed like him that, you know, were shooting.
Yeah, so yeah, we didn't bring that up, but, like, is it a uniform, or...
It looks like a cult, kind of.
He has a Shiro, yeah, Shiro Corps, or whatever. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a turning point with Shiro as well as Itona. Like, we're going to get some revelation about him and his purpose.
I'm guessing we actually get the full backstory next time.
Because,
yeah,
I mean,
like, we will find out more, definitely.
He's working with the government, but it doesn't seem like in a super official capacity.
It seems like they contracted him out.
Like, he's a Blackwater thing or something.
Yeah. I could see, like, kind of an anti-corporate message of, you know, there's a rich corporation that the government is leaning on here.
So, like, a Metal Gear Solid 4 thing?
Like, an everything thing? Like, this is... That's
the thing. After Blackwater, that's the thing in fiction.
Yeah. It's the post-2000 era fiction of nobody trusts the government not to deal with corporations.
So, yeah. Conflict with Shiro next week.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. Like, that last panel is pretty badass.
Kind of expecting this is all going to end with Shiro's complete defeat, and he'll, you know, slink away, but, like, expose...
And, like, his entire core has been taken down by the students.
Yeah, and, like, maybe, like, what he really is will be exposed, and, you know, like, his work with the government's gonna come to a halt, but he'll slink away for revenge, and they'll end up with Itona in the class.
Yeah. I wonder if Itona's gonna, like, knock Shiro away or save Kuro-sensei.
Yeah, maybe it's gonna be one of those things of, like, no, you shouldn't have that kind of control over your tentacles at this point, you know, how are you
doing this? Or rips them out himself.
Yeah.
Absorbs them into his own body, so he has to deal with a couple more, or something like that.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Like, the big thing about this chapter is I feel like we've more or less confirmed that guy has tentacles.
Yeah.
Like, they give a lot of visual indicators of what Shiro might be in this chapter.
Yeah. Like, that's why I think we're going to get a revelation, is because, like, the bits and pieces are coming, like, too fast now for them to just keep it a secret. Like, it's starting to get to that thing where the ball's starting to roll and we're heading towards...
Yeah, they can't slow drip this that much longer.
I was really surprised when I turned that page. Like, the pacing and stuff, I thought they were really going to, like, go out to the middle of nowhere and have it out one last time.
Yeah. But that's the shonen stuff that, like, Assassination Classroom is really good at subverting.
Like you've said about, like, the pacing and the paneling and stuff, and you turn, and the very first thing you see is, like, a couple grenades with nothing behind them.
Such
and
a good
then,
manga.
Boom.
Best manga this year so far. Yeah. Well, actually, okay, do you guys want to move on to the other best chapter this week?
Really?
I love this chapter.
This chapter was good.
I'm truncated.
Telling you, man, just drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, it's not even a matter of dumb. It feels like it's just firing on all cylinders past all logic.
It's such fan service, and I'm a fan, so I like it.
Once you're pat, like, it... The plot twist that led to these power-ups was absolutely stupid.
First of all, let's clarify, we're at Naruto.
But once you're able to, you know, accept that aspect and just roll with it, this chapter was a hell of a lot of fun.
It's not a matter of the plot twist. I think this chapter, period, is just like, it's moving too fast without a whole lot of time on anything in particular.
I kind of like the breakneck speed of... how this is going.
It feels like Kishimoto was told, hurry this along.
Nah, this does not...
Like, I'm saying it was... That's what happened. I'm saying that's the kind of pacing I see from this.
Nah, this doesn't feel hurried at all. This is the, you know, reset for the final boss battle.
What? It doesn't feel... Naruto shows up in this chapter and then thinks he's defeated Madara one hit in.
He doesn't think that.
They knock him into the tree, and then they start celebrating and talking about Sasuke.
Okay, well...
Not Sasuke. Sasuke gets literally teleported into the arena.
Okay, starting from the beginning, Naruto and Madara start having it out.
Yes, and, you know, he notices that Gai is not dead, and he's wondering why, and so, you know, he, like, summons one of his ball things out. and Naruto just, you know, throws himself at Madara and hits him.
Well, Madara tries to use a different attack, too. His limbo attack.
So then Naruto calls on Sun inside of him and uses his chakra to create a fire Rasen Shuriken.
And that's apparently a thing that can happen now.
Or something like that.
Well, I mean, he's got the chakra. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it just... That's a good way to establish it.
So basically the typing means nothing anymore. He can just use whatever. Because he's got everything inside of him. He's a Pokemon master.
And so Limbo, I'm guessing, is an attack that was used earlier?
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out either. Like, maybe it's a different translation?
Isn't that the thing? Didn't Obito have something like that where he was, like, stopping people or something? Like, controlling gravity or something like that?
I mean, he says it's an attack Madara, that, like, misses.
I'm guessing that that's the same thing that, like, he did to Sasuke, which allowed him to stab him or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. He stopped Sasuke in midair. And then... So he was probably trying to just stop Naruto's movement and... just did not affect him at all.
Because so dodged it.
So this magma shuriken takes Madara through the tree and cuts the tree down.
Yeah. Tree is completely cut in half. It's burning.
Madara is laying in the...
like, path that's going to fall in. Like, the tree is starting to topple on top of him.
And, the tree
and then the tree talks to him. Yep.
Well, we established the tree's a monster before.
Yeah.
So I like how... the tree's saying, like, you know, hey, why don't you absorb me? It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, man, just give me one smoke. It's not going to kill
you.
You
know you want some of this.
So Naruto drops Gai.
Like, related to the sage's mother or something like that?
Well, she stole the chakra from the tree originally.
Yeah.
And the tree's been kind of hell-bent on getting it back for a couple of millennia.
So I guess this is, like, a new Ten Tails or something? Like,
I think it's the original Ten Tails.
Like, it's not the weird copy that they've amalgamated from grabbing all the chakra, but, like, the actual Ten Tails.
I get the feeling this tree was not... it's not, like, a reproduction of the tree. This is the original tree.
Yeah, they revived it. Because I think the sage powers they have, it's just because they, you know, combined all of the tailed beasts to get, like, an approximation of the Ten Tails. But this is the actual Ten Tails.
You know what didn't come up? That... those, like, QB items they found.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yet.
Yeah.
So,
and
Naruto...
the day.
Naruto brings Gai over to Rock Lee, and he's like, no, it's cool, Gai's fine. I'm like, his skin's gone.
My problem with this is that he has both of his feet, when we saw one of them, like, dissolving into ash.
And Naruto gave his feet back.
I would have been... I wanted to see Gai, like, not fight anymore, just have to retire.
You wanted some sacrifice to this?
Yeah.
It's Naruto. So, you don't get sacrificed unless you have a Byakugan.
So
the tree disappearing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wonder what's happening.
And then Naruto looks at his hand, and then we see Sasuke's hand because...
parallels.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to Sasuke, who's talking to the second, who's still pinned down.
Yeah. From
the
he pulls it out before he talks to him.
No,
and,
first
you know,
he asks him, can you teleport?
Like, oh, hey, you know, something must have happened to him because he can touch Madara's pole. He's graduated from having that hard time with Orochimaru's snake, so, you know.
Sasuke, you have a way with that old man's pole, huh? You got some experience.
So
he asks the second if he's able to teleport.
Yeah.
See, this is the one that's like, okay, this is clearly, like, rushed somehow. Because he's teleporting straight to the battle.
So I mean, that was the thing. You guys thought that he was going to go fight the wood...
I thought there was going to be some degree of build-up.
Nah, this is totally what I was expecting, was that, okay, they're both back, now they have to team up to fight Madara. That was totally what was going
to
happen.
So we cut back to Madara, and he seems to have the original Sharingan under his helmet, is what I'm getting from that. Or, like, no, it's... the thing inside of him that's talking looks a lot like the mother. It has the white eyes and
that one panel has the one thing in the middle of her forehead and
So that's not him with that, it's the thing inside him talking that has that. So it must be Kaguya.
That would be like I don't know that they've established enough of a thing for that to make sense.
If she's like the real final boss or something.
Yeah.
I agree that would be a real ass pull if she ended up being the final boss, but the only way that I can see going with that would be if like the final way that it's defeated is they get rid of all ninja powers or something like that.
They're just going to do the Full Metal Alchemist ending.
Yeah, but for everybody.
So, before Naruto heads off to the final battle, Gaara says, when you become Hokage, let's go out for a drink together, which is totally not creating pathos for when Naruto doesn't come back.
So Kakashi sees Naruto, is like, oh, wait, that happened, huh? And then starts thinking, where's Obito?
Meanwhile, the most awkward conversation ever.
Sokka's like, by the way, thank you for saving... Now, can you get me out of here?
Yeah, you know...
I don't know why I'm here still.
Just this once, I'm going to make an exception, think of you an ally, and, you know, Obito has a request as an enemy, and so this is totally going to be, you know, Sakura's contribution to the Team 7 fighting Madara is she's going to be the one who kills Obito.
I have a request. Can you put your hair down and call yourself Rin for a second? just give me this. I need this.
But nah, he's going to ask her to kill him. That's totally what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if she's going to take his eye somehow, because parallels.
Give it to Naruto
Or something.
Or
give
herself.
It to Kakashi.
Just come in and be like, it's fucking Sakura time! Yeah!
Sharingan Sakura.
Yeah. Also, Rinnegan Sakura. It's like, didn't see this coming, did you bitches? Gonna open the
Speaking
night gate over here.
That was one thing I noticed earlier, is that Madara's still missing the other eye.
Yeah, he still has a power up to get.
At least he still has it closed.
Yeah, so this is not the final form.
Yeah. So, Naruto grabs the kunai.
The teleport kunai.
Yeah.
Bites it.
Which seems like a weird thing to do.
And then he...
It's just kind of a throwback to his old design thing where he would have, like, a scroll in his mouth or something like
that.
Yeah, a lot of this seems to be a throwback. Like, him tightening his headband is also
I'm just saying, like, any second Sasuke could show up in his mouth.
See, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Is he going to kiss?
Yeah! I was hoping that's what it was going for.
That would be pretty funny.
And then Bamf teleport Naruto and Sasuke are standing next to each other in an awesome panel.
Yeah, Naruto goes full Sage of Six Paths, has the orbs and the
weapons,
staves.
And Sasuke's gotten a Rinnegan in one of his eyes. The opposite, the eye that Madara needs.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So Madara points out, like, hey, wait a second, everything I need is right here. All right, time to go crazy.
The final battle will begin.
I am the two of you combined. Let's see which one's greater.
So I like where this ended. I just think it got there really fast.
Yeah.
Now, but this was exactly what I was expecting to happen last chapter.
That page of Naruto and Sasuke is like such fan service, but I loved it so much.
Yeah, I know. Like, you just got this stupid grin on your face looking at that. It's like, yeah, this is what we've been waiting for.
Like, that's the page you know he's prepared like months ago.
I like internally pump my fist when I saw that page.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, our ages here differ, but we've all pretty much grown up with Naruto.
Yeah.
To be fair, middle, I didn't really start until I was in college, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, but it's been...
I was more like a high school thing.
It was late high school for me.
So, to me, like, Naruto is basically what Dragon Ball Z is to a lot of the older anime fans. You know, it's what they grew up with in high school.
I mean, I grew up with Dragon Ball, too, but, like,
yeah, but
Naruto was the one I first saw it. Like, it wasn't given to me. I was like, hey, this looks cool.
I read my Japanese mangas to read it.
Yeah,
and
DBZ was already, like, over by the time it was airing in America.
Yeah, I watched the last episode of DBZ on Toonami, like... That was done and done. This is
what the first series that I actually caught up, and actually, it was either this or Bleach were the first ones that I was reading, even with Japan.
I think Naruto was my first because I got the American Shonen Jump, and saw that like this stuff was running now, and I like it's like oh, and I like Googled it, and oh hey, there's all this stuff online.
I think I caught up. Episode 100 was where like it started going in filler. So I was like, oh man, because like, that was the one where it was like, right after that was Itachi showing up for the first time. I was like, I need to figure out what's happening next.
So I have to know.
The manga. Yeah.
No way I can wait.
Because like, that was the biggest thing to ever happen in art. That was right after Orochimaru's invasion.
I believe I started reading it during the Chunin exam. But I had seen the anime from, like, a friend of mine passed me a burned DVD of like... that had Naruto 1 written on it in
Yeah, no, I think... was much later to the party than you guys. I did anime first, and I caught up, I was watching anime in the Chunin exam, I think is where I caught up.
Mm.
But then I didn't actually make the switch over to the manga for a long time. So I actually think Bleach was the first anime that I watched, own choice. Then this one was the next one, and then I made the switch to the manga at the same time.
I think what happened with me is I started with the manga, the anime started, and I started watching that, and that caught up much faster than the American manga was going. And so then it's like, you know, well, I'm kind of at the end of everything here, so let's just go full in on the Japanese manga. I think I started reading it in earnest during, like, the Rescue Sasuke arc at the start of that.
Yeah, I think that's where I ended up picking it up. Like, I read through to there, and that's where it was, where the manga was at the time in the anime, which is forever ago.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it happened fast, but this is still, like, everything I wanted out of the final battle.
Like, I mean, like, that page is kind of the culmination of everything Naruto has been doing. Like, for good or for worse, they went in hard on parallels, and this is where it's supposed to end up.
I mean, just...
Naruto's design just looks awesome in that page.
The Sage of Six Paths Naruto.
I think it's awesome because he just flipped it on like a switch. Like, he's tightening his headband, he's doing the Konoha thing, and then suddenly, Sage of Six Paths.
You know what I like that I saw pointed out somewhere? Naruto got new shoes. Out of that somehow. It's not just a coat.
But it's Sasuke.
Sasuke kind of got the short end here. He got one new eye.
I mean, let's be happy he's not a snake.
But let's be fair here. That is, you know, not Hack's eye right there. Or that is the Hack's eye.
We're totally going to get probably Sage Sasuke too, right?
Like, I'm going to guess that that's...
Yeah, he'll Indra Sasuke.
Yeah, he'll get the white, he'll get, you know, he'll have black hair, and but he'll have, like, the nine balls around him, and, yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next chapter.
So, we said we don't think Bleach is going to end before the end of 2014. What about Naruto?
No.
I bet 700's the last one. I'm going to say that's what he's working towards. So, we'd have 27 more chapters, which sounds about right.
I don't know. I think we've got another year yet, just with the way these things tend to go.
Especially since they've had Kaguya, like, starting to... stuff of that starting to trickle out.
If that happens, I think it would be kind of shitty.
My question at this point is whether or not we will actually end up getting the Naruto versus Sasuke fight.
Yeah, no, we're totally gonna...
I think we will.
Like I've said all the time, it's gonna be more of a, like, let's finally see... you know, like, rooftop of the hospital style thing.
The worst thing they could do is do that and then end it with, like, a panel of them clashing.
Do the rocky finish of, like,
yeah,
go to an oil painting of them pulling their weapons on each other.
And we don't even, like, know who ends up winning.
It just ends like, Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, I think there's a non-zero chance he would do that.
Done right, that's done well. Like, the, what's it called? The end to, what's it called? No More Heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
Then the best part of that was the Back to the Fucking Future font for the To Be Continued. That was the best thing ever. Ah. Oh. Naruto needs to do that, just back to, like, Jiraiya shows up with goggles on his head, and it's like, we need to go back. It's about your kids, Naruto.
Like, so thematically, I'm pretty okay with Madara being the Ten Tails. Like, he thought he was going to be the Sage of Six Paths, but he ends up becoming the monster that was chasing him.
It's, yeah, this is, you know, with the apple and the tree of knowledge parallels going on here. This is the dude that wants to become God, basically.
Yeah.
Like the
and he ended up becoming, like, the greatest demon the world's ever seen.
Yeah, and the only ones that can stop him are, like, the personification of all that's good and evil. You know, both sides of humanity kind of thing.
Yeah, teaming up.
Yeah. Real good, you know, parallels going on there.
Para what?
Para awesome fights coming. Yeah.
I do like how Sasuke just sort of left his group. Just go fuck off, do whatever you want.
It would have been real funny if, like, I can only teleport one person in. That's all I need. And then bamf, and then Jugo is standing there.
Yeah.
Cuts back to Sasuke, it's like, might have been a decision.
I have my misgivings about this chapter, but not so much the events that happen in it.
Yeah. Very good lead up.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to tie up the other loose ends.
Yeah, like, what the clearly Yamato guy is doing stuff. I wonder if we just, like, get slight filler of the Hokages fighting him.
I'm just going to guess we're going to see the finality of that battle. And, like, you know, his mask is cracking and coming off. And they go, oh, hey, it's Yamato. Because that's totally Yamato.
I'm endlessly amused how Sakura is not part of this.
No, her fight is going to be she has to kill Obito. That's her part of it.
I just love the cut back to them sitting there, and I'm just picturing, like, so, how do you know Kakashi? He's about to die. He killed the woman I love. Well, you know, my parents run a flower shop, and real funny story about that.
That's Ino.
Oh, yeah, damn it.
I feel like
one of the movies
anyway, right?
Dealt with Sakura's parents. No, it was Road to Ninja, and her parents are Hokages there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never watched that.
Yep, totally need to watch that.
Okay, maybe I'll go find it. I'm in the mood for some Naruto after this chapter.
That's like I said, they try the first movie, then don't try again until the 50th anniversary.
Just like Nintendo.
Ba-dum-tsh. Ooh. Yeah, this has been sort of a light week, but we still had a lot to talk about, so.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next week. It could be Beals, could be some other stuff.
But yeah, there was no One Piece this week, but everything kind of made up for it.
Yeah.
Except Bleach. God damn it, Bleach.
Bleach is usually the gimp dog that lags behind.
Hey guys, I'm here too.
Look at it, Kenpachi's got a sword now. Do you guys like me again, please?
Alright. Let's wrap.
Okay.
This has been your Friday April Huge Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you all next time.
That seems like a real conflict of interest to have a 19-year-old teaching 17-year-olds.
That they know and made out with.
Yeah. It's like, so do you have any... Yeah, in the interview. Do you know any of the students? Do you have any relationships? Oh, well, I made out with Raku. Like, yeah, we hear that a lot.
Who hasn't?
It's just like a checkbox on the form. It's number 3.